sometimes I'm busy and I put things off and I don't do what I need to do when I need to do it. And I find myself not spending as much time studying God's Word as I should. And then through this series that we've been on the last 6 weeks through the importance of prayer, I really learned firsthand last week through last Sunday service how we gathered and prayed that God is an awesome and powerful God. Not that I didn't already know it, but He gave us a wonderful example of it. Many of you knew that Mr. Foster had surgery and was not doing as well as they had hoped. And he's home now. But over last weekend, he really was just down and out. He was just hurting. Couldn't get comfortable. Paula was the same way because she was having to endure for her husband. And he really started to make a pretty decent turnaround Sunday evening. On into Monday and Tuesday, you know, he got to go home. And you may not think it was because you prayed. Some people kind of brush that off. But prayer is so important. We can't take for granted the opportunity that was provided for us last Sunday to pray for a specific reason. We can't take those opportunities for granted. Prayer works. I hope that you continue to pray for me, and it gives me a reassurance, because prior to coming in here this morning, I really didn't want to come preach this morning. And you may think, well, that's your job. You got to. You're right, I do. It's my job. Isn't that right? It's what I'm paid for. But it's not about the job. It's about being obedient to God. And being willing to hear His voice and answer His call. And then in return, living a life that's pleasing to Him. And as I said, I try to be very transparent to y'all as a congregation, as my church family. But guess what? I'm not perfect. I struggle every day like you struggle. There's Sunday mornings when I really don't want to come here because I'm burdened with so many different things. There's times on Sunday evening when I don't want to come back because I'm tired too. Of course, y'all only think I work on Sunday and Wednesday, and that's okay. Y'all can continue to think that. Well, I appreciate you all paying me for 2 days a week. But our jobs are tough. Your job is tough. But we cannot find ourselves just going through the motions of life. Going through the motions of being a Christian. Going through the motions of just being a member of the church. Going through the motions of serving God. Today's service wraps up our series on prayer. And today's topic is a very important one. And that's being a prayer partner. Praying together. There really is no more powerful thing that you and I could ever experience when we are able to pray together as a group. As a community, as a congregation. And if we could, we would do this now, but for time's sake, we won't today. But maybe one day, I would love it if we would be able to form that circle one day in this sanctuary. We hold hands, one with another, and we just pray. Whatever's on our heart, could you imagine how it would be in this sanctuary if we would just let go of everything that's within us? Let it go. Give it to God. Give it to the person beside you. And let them pray for you. But you're going to probably ask yourself this question. Well, I really don't want everybody to know my personal business. And well, some things you must keep personal. But if you can truly find a good Christian friend, one that you can trust wholeheartedly, who won't take this mouth and go tell everybody across the countryside what's going on in your life, that's the kind of prayer partner you need to join yourself with. Now, obviously, we all have gossiped. We probably have gossiped this morning. Some of you are really laughing hard in the fellowship hall this morning. Y'all might have been gossiping at the circle table. I hope not. But we gossip. We talk when we shouldn't. We say things that we shouldn't. But talking about the importance of a prayer partner is going to conclude our prayer series. Now, we know that we have the advocate,
Jesus Christ. He's our ultimate prayer partner. You'll never find anyone more faithful than He. But before you leave today, if you don't already, I want you to begin to formulate in your mind someone, besides a spouse or a family member, someone that you can form that type of relationship with and just pray. Prayer works. God loves to hear the effectual prayer of a fervent servant, a spiritual person. And so think about that in your mind today. Somebody that you can go to, where y'all can sit hand in hand or hand on shoulder, whatever the case may be, and just pray about the importance of God in your life. And so I'll ask you this question this morning. In your life's adventures, how important is you to do things with someone? You know, there's some things that you may like to do by yourself, and that's okay. Me personally, I cannot stand to eat by myself. I find myself talking to myself. I can't stand it. I probably only have eaten in public by myself once or twice. I don't like it. I get lonely quick. I want somebody to talk to. I don't like to do that by myself. But I do like to sit at home sometimes by myself in the quiet and just relax. But then I think about things that I've done in my life as a husband and as a father. Now, I'm so thankful that Amanda was with me and our two children were with me. You know, we had the opportunity to go off a couple of times in the month of March, just the two of us, and we realized just how much we miss our boys. Even though as soon as we see them, we get back into Kershaw, they drive us crazy immediately. But we miss them. I love being with them, and I hope they always will love being with me and Amanda and myself. But it's so much more fun when you get to do something with somebody. Y'all can share in that joy together. You can share in that sorrow together. It's so important to have a partner, someone to be by your side who you know you can call on. And so today we're going to talk about that important prayer partner. Someone who can experience life with you and pray for you, not ridicule, judge you, or cast you down. Our first selection of scripture this morning is from Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 and 10. And as we think about working together, praying together, being together, this is the ultimate intentions of God. This is His intentions for your life. This is His intentions for all people. But only the ones who come to the Spirit and the knowledge of truth of who God is will get to experience this ultimately and eternally. Now, the words that we're going to read from Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10 are most likely from King Solomon. Many Jewish and Christian scholars feel that he was the author of Ecclesiastes, but some things detract as if he were, but most people conclude that he is the author of Ecclesiastes. So in my mind today, as we read this together, we're going to say that these are the very words of King Solomon who have been directed to him from God and God alone. Verses 9 and 10 of chapter 4, you can remain seated this morning. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Now for you who have been studying the book of Revelation the last 16 months, we see that word woe there. And you recall through Revelation, the word woe is used many times. And woe is not a good word. You know, people say, woe is me. And we think, oh, they're just a tired person. But to hear the word woe casted upon you is something that shows us the importance of an individual's deep suffering, a misfortune, a terrible affliction, and then the word that many of us can associate with, deep, deep grief. So here in that very verse 10, it says, but woe to him who's alone. Now, we are not alone here today. We are gathered amongst one another, fellow believers in Christ. But even if it was just me here by myself, I would not be alone. I would have the Lord Jesus with me. So if you are a child of God, you're never alone. But woe to the individual
thousands of friends. You know, we like to look at our social media page and we see that we've got 2,000 friends on Facebook, 1,300 followers on Twitter or whatever, and that makes us feel so good. Oh, I'm popular. I've got all these followers with me. But without Christ, you're still alone. We have many friends around us. You go to school every day, you go to work, and you've got all of these friends that are around you, but without Christ, you're still alone. And so that's what this scripture's referring to. It's really twofold. It's referring to the importance of having a good Christian friend to be with you, but even more so to make sure that you have God with you, because you do not want to be found alone at the day of His coming. At the day of His coming, meaning you do not want to be found alone without the Spirit of the living God living within you. It's so very important that we bond together one with another, that we build relationships one with another. And the best way to do that is through prayer. Back in the fall of 2017, we started Cottage Prayer Meeting as we prayed a month leading up to our first fall revival, my first revival with you all as a church. And there were some very wonderful Cottage Prayer Meetings that were held in individuals' homes, and people opened up and prayed and said things that they probably wouldn't have said otherwise, and they needed to get these things off their chest, off their heart. I hope some of the hearts were mended during that time frame, but it showed the importance of why we should gather together and pray. We don't have to come to Sand Hill. We can gather out in a parking lot. We can gather at someone's home. We can pick a random spot, and we can gather together, and we can pray. But if you don't have the ability to do that, the one thing that I hope you're able to do is make sure that you have a prayer partner. And we're going to see the importance of having a partner in a moment as we look at Exodus 17. But before we go there, I want you to understand and know what is being said here in Ecclesiastes. It's the value of a friend. You have got to make sure, Christians, that you put yourself with Christian friends. Now, I'm not telling you to turn your back on those who don't believe, because you need to continue to live your life in front of them as though they see Christ in you. It's important to surround yourself with a Christian friend. Two are better than one. There's good reward for their labor, and if you were to fall, that one is there to pick you up. Now, of course, we know that a real good friend is going to laugh first before they pick you up. So if they're going to pick you up, they may have to fight back the tears as they're helping you up, but they're going to be there for you when you fall. But what I want to encourage you today is this. Make sure that hand's always extended to help a person who has fallen. Not one who has literally stumbled and fallen and fell down to their knees, but one who has fallen away from the Lord. No greater fall will one take than one who chooses not to believe and follow God. That's what's really being said here in these verses. Not one who trips and falls, but one who trips and falls continually through life because they have no guidance. They have no moral compass, because they have no spiritual compass, because Christ is not within them. Make sure you can be that spiritual compass. The value of a friend is so very important. And we're going to see that now in Exodus 17. If you would turn there, we will no longer be in Ecclesiastes. So turn to Exodus 17. When I taught PE at McDonald Green, one of the exercises that I used to do, I typically did it with third through fifth grade. Every so often I would do it with first and second grade, never kinder. But some of the exercises that we used to do to begin class was we would stand up, feet shoulder width apart, and we would raise our arms and we would hold them just like this. And then sometimes we would move them to the front and we would hold them. And the kids would be moving around and, "Mr. Owens, I can't feel my fingertips. My arms are going to fall off. My shoulders are killing me." And I'd say, "Hold it just a little bit longer. You can do it." And the more they did it, you could tell their arms would just begin to fall slowly. And then they thought they were holding them parallel to the ground, and their arms would be about like this. And their arms would be on fire. They would be burning. And then I would say to one of the friends or classmates, "Go beside the other person and hold their arms up for them." And what happens? The burden is what? It's gone. It's lifted. It felt as though they were holding 20-pound weights in each arm, and they just felt as if their arms were going to fall off. But when I gave them a partner to hold up their arms for them,
They say, oh, I could do this all day, Mr. Owens. Sure you can. Because why? You got help. And no greater example than what we'll find here in the Old Testament of Exodus, of Moses having help. He had human help, but ultimately he had spiritual help. So if you would, follow along with me. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. This is the main focal passage of today's scripture. This is showing us the importance of having a spiritual partner or friend. Now, Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. That's a pretty good friends, isn't it? They got the stone, they sat it down, and Moses was able to sit there, and Moses was able to rest. And his buddies come alongside of him, and they held his arms up because they realized as long as his arms were in the air, Israel was victorious. Many of you have probably done that before. Many of you maybe used to do overhead work, or maybe you still do. I used to do a little bit of that when I did heat and air. And one time I had to change a ceiling fan in our house, and I hadn't done that in forever. And I literally thought the next day that when I woke up, my arms were never going to be operable again. I hurt so bad because I hadn't used those muscles in a very long time. I wish an Aaron and a Hur would have come along to help me with that ceiling fan, and it wouldn't have been as bad. But that happens. We get hurt. Our bodies ache. More so, our spiritual hearts can ache, and we need an Aaron and a Hur to come along, to be there with us, to support us. Moses was faithfully praying on a hill while the soldiers were fighting below, and they were winning, but those arms grew wearier and wearier. They became heavier and heavier, and he started to gradually let the arm down, and then the Amalekites would win. The Amalekites would win, or would start to win. But what I find to be important here is the fact that Aaron and Hur realized that, oh, we need to go help Moses. We need to go and help him. Because they see what's happening when he gets tired. They see that when he starts to let his arms down, the Israelites begin to lose. So they stepped in. And that's what I'm encouraging you all to do today, is to be an Aaron and be a Hur. To walk into someone's life, step into someone's life who needs that assistance, who needs that prayer assistance, who needs that presence of a friendship, a Christian friend in their life. You know, all along, the Lord God Almighty never expected Moses to do anything by himself. He always expected other individuals to step up and assist. And that's one thing that I am so happy to say about this church at Sand Hill, that I know that so many of you work diligently to assist so many different people. It's not just one person having to carry the load. Many of you are willing to assist, and that's important. But it's even more important when we catch on and see that all of us should be doing this. Helping one another. Taking the burden from another individual. Seeking out those who are in need. And so, in our own lives, God is not going to allow these very same things to happen to you. He does not expect you to go through life alone. He doesn't expect you to be absolutely independent. Now, you may be alone, but you know you've got a friend in Christ. And if you're a member of this church, and even if you're visiting with us today, you will always have a friend within this church. many, many good people who are here to assist and to help. But what I want to talk about for a brief moment, not straying away from the importance of being a prayer partner, but I want to talk about the importance of Moses' hands. I want you to understand and know that it really was not because of Moses' hands that they were winning or were they losing. God was showing to Moses, God was showing to Aaron and to Hur and to the Israelites that it's through his power that they prevail. It was symbolic of the rod being held in the air, that God was being held up on high. That is where the ultimate power came from. Moses was simply the what? The obedient leader, an obedient follower of Christ. That's what you need to do. Be the obedient follower of Christ so that you can be an obedient leader for Christ. The Lord was ultimately responsible for Israel's victory. The rod that Moses was holding up was that outward sign. And it was showing Moses that his dependence was strictly upon Yahweh and no one else. It was not Moses or that physical rod, but it was the very same God of Abraham, the very same God of Isaac, and the very same God of Jacob. And it was the God of the universe that was sustaining Moses and allowing him to be that faithful man. And he put two faithful partners right by his side. We probably walk around oblivious every day of how we can be a prayer partner for someone else. Not even realizing the problems that other individuals face, because, you know, we all carry our own burdens and we don't often see the burdens of others. And so therefore we need to make sure that we lay our burdens down and that we pick up the burdens of someone else and assist them. That's what Aaron and Hur did. They saw the burden of Moses and realized it was a burden upon them, so they helped. And they were able to do this because of their obedience to Moses, but ultimately their obedience to God. This is why you need prayer partners. It could be one or several. As we ultimately depend on God, we likewise interdepend upon each other. Now, once again, many of us don't like to do that. You know, we want to make sure, though, that we can do it all on our own and I can depend on myself and I don't need anyone's help. But that is to your own demise. You must humble yourself. You must realize that you do need help. God wants to help you. He wants to put people in your lives that can assist you and can help you so that you understand that you can depend on other people and other people can depend on you. Everyone needs an Aaron and a Hur in their life to hold up our drooping arms, our downtrodden spirits, and our crushed hearts. We need people in our lives who can assist us. They can be an intercessor for you. We know Jesus is the intercessor. But when you give your burdens to other folks and they can begin to pray for you as well, that is even greater than just you lamenting the prayer. Once again, it goes back to the importance of when we gathered around here last Sunday and prayed, when we gather here on Wednesday nights and we pray, when we gather at an individual's home for cottage prayer meeting and we pray, when we gather together and we pray together, great things can be done through the power of prayer, but through the power of the one who hears our prayer. We want someone who is not judgmental, who does not make snide comments or blabbers or gossips. We want to make sure that we have someone who is willingly simple or simply able to come alongside of us and be there for us. Maybe just to sit there. Maybe just to be there with you and not say a word. But make sure you find someone or you go and be that someone. Ask God to bring people into your life who can faithfully and lovingly lift you up. There's one verse I'd like for us to close with this evening. And it's a verse that we've already read together, and it's not going to be on the screen, but if you don't mind, go ahead and turn to Hebrews 4, verse 16. This will be our last verse to read together today. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need.
We are in a time of need. Our nation is in a time of need. Families within this church are in a time of need. Enter into the very throne room of God. You don't need an appointment. You don't need a special place. You don't need a comfortable pew. You need a willing heart. I hope through the last 6 weeks that we've studied through the different means of prayer, the importance of prayer, I hope that many of you have begun to develop a stronger prayer life. For when you develop a prayer life with Christ, you open up that dialogue with Christ. He will pour his blessings upon you. He will give you a power. He will give you a strength. He will give you spiritual knowledge to do more and more for him. And when that happens, you're able to make an even greater impact than what you've already made in your life thus far. Make sure that you find a prayer partner. Find someone who will just pray with you. A cup of coffee and pray. Or just gather together and just lift concerns one for another to God. So he can lead you and guide you, so that he can mend your broken heart, so he can make you better, so he can make you see the importance of the indwelling of the Spirit, so he can give you example after example of the power of prayer, and that power and prayer go hand in hand, and it will always work out for those who love the Lord. Take this time today to willfully seek out God's desire for you and pray, God, give me a prayer partner. Father, open my eyes and open my heart so that I may see that very individual who's in need of prayer today. Remember that it's all about your work for Christ. And as we've been studying that book of Revelation, you know, many people are going to meet their doom. Many people are going to be left behind. Many people are going to be standing here, and they're going to be wondering, what happened to my friend? What happened to my very co-worker who I was just working alongside? They're gone. And the world's going to begin to unravel. Before that day comes, you and I have work to do. That's to tell others about Christ. But it cannot start until you have a relationship with him. And you can gain that relationship through prayer. No greater prayer partner will you find than Jesus Christ himself. God has blessed us with many good people in our presence. Many people whose lives we come in contact with daily who are good people. Good people don't go to heaven. Only the saved righteous will enter into his gates of glory. So my prayer for you today is this. Seek the will of God for your life. Find that prayer partner so that you can make a difference. So that you and that partner can make a difference. And then that partner can go and make a difference. It's a never-ending cycle. It is the cycle. It is the circle of love. And the only love that you and I will ever experience is the love that comes from our Father, from above. Let us pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank you for another day, another opportunity to be back in your house of worship today, God. And I just thank you for all who are here, their families in which they represent. God, I pray that your words have fallen upon a heart who needs you, God. Father, a heart who is in need of a Savior. A heart who's probably tried many different things of this world to find peace, love, and joy. But they have not found it yet.